Good morning, everyone. If you haven't got a Bible but you would like one of the church editions, raise your hand and one we've brought to you. And we're going to be looking, as John's told us, and thank you, John, for leading so well. Thank you, musicians, as well. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23, which I believe is on page 555 in the church edition of the Bible. I've got this half verse to look at. Half of verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right. So that's page 555, Psalm 23. I won't be reading the psalm again because we had those two versions read to us, which was very useful. But I am going to be looking at some other passages in the Bible as well to expand and clarify some of the points that I make in the next few minutes. It was in 1979 when I moved from my job at Automotive Products, Lockheed, on the Tatchbrook Road. Those of you who've lived in the area for some time will know that AP used to employ what seemed like almost everybody in Leamington. It was one of those big engineering companies that had been here for quite a number of years. And I left school at 16 and did my apprenticeship there. And my father was already working there. And my uncle was working there. My cousin was working there. My sister worked there for a while. As I said, it seems like everybody worked at AP. But in 1979, after being there for about just under a decade, I had a real sense that I ought to change the direction of my life. And it wasn't just a decision I made. Angie, my wife, who's here, it was a decision that we took together. We'd just given birth, or she'd just given birth, actually. I'd helped a little bit some time before. We'd just had our first child, Kate. And we had this overwhelming sense of we should change the direction of our lives. And I gave him my notice at Lockheed. We put our house up for rent, and we moved away for just about a year to a Christian training college, and things were never the same since. That was the time when I moved from what is sometimes called secular employment into Christian ministry. And looking back on it, I've got no doubt whatsoever that that was God's will. God was guiding us into that. It wasn't quite so clear at the time. But I remember once I'd taken that decision, I was invited on quite a few occasions to talk about guidance and how God shows us what his plan is for our lives. And I spoke, perhaps a bit big-headed this, very eloquently and very knowledgeably about it. And looking back, I was so naive. So naive. Because I think it's hindsight that has given me the clarity on that decision. And it's the time that has passed has confirmed to me that, yes, that was the right thing to do. But it was nearly 30 years ago. And now, when I think about discovering God's will and knowing God's guidance, it isn't always quite so easy. It remains a difficult subject. We're going to have a look this morning at some of the principles and some of the ways that God leads us, and I'm going to use quite a few personal examples. And please do not get the impression that you've got a super spiritual guy here who knows the Lord's will for every nuance of his life. That is not so. The reason why I want to use personal examples is to really earth it, to show you how it has worked out for me. And perhaps you'll better pick up on one or two of those things. And we're going to use Psalm 23 and that verse 3, he restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, as the springboard, as the foundation for all that we're looking at. And the first thing that really encourages me that comes from that, and it's clarified elsewhere in God's word, is this, that God promises to guide his people. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Turn to Psalm 32, just over a few pages, and it is laid out there even more clearly. Psalm 32 and verse 8. written by the very same man, King David. Psalm 32 and verse 8, God is saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God promises to guide his people. But that is the clue. Back to Psalm 23, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Of course, comes hot on the heels of what it says in verse 1, that the Lord is my shepherd. As long as I've got that relationship with him, I can be confident of his guidance. And where does he guide us? Well, it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me in places into directions that are right, that will give honour to his name. He will help me to make the correct decisions. He will take me to the right places. He will take me into the right situations. He will guide me to the right people. It might not always be for my pleasure or even for my satisfaction. But if I've got a right relationship with him, he will guide me into situations that are good, that are righteous, and that will give honour to his name. There's a parallel, really, in the New Testament. You needn't turn all these up. But in Romans chapter 12, where Paul, after a great deal of deep theology, eventually he starts to get very practical. In Romans 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I always find it interesting that those two words are used together. It's what we call an oxymoron, isn't it? Living sacrifice. It's like common sense. No such thing as common sense. Living sacrifice. But that's what we should be. But then he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's the same idea. When you're in a right relationship with God, then you'll get to know what God wants, and you'll know his guidance in your life. And that's the point. Anything else I might say about how God guides us and how God speaks to us really depends on this. Knowing God's will is inextricably linked to us having a relationship with him. It's true in any relationship that once you get to know someone, you don't always have to ask what they like and what they want. Angela and I have been married for 31 years now. I know that in the morning she likes a cup of tea, not a cup of coffee. I often get it wrong, because I sort of go into automatics, I'm making my coffee, but I know she likes tea in the morning. I don't have to ask her that, I know that. And when you get into a relationship with someone, you know what their desires are. You know what their will is, and it's the same with the Lord. So we're going to have a look at how God guides us. But this is the foundation, our relationship with him. As long as our relationship with him is okay, then you don't need to worry too much about the paths that you take. I'm glad that it says, back to Psalm 23, that he guides me in paths of righteousness. Sometimes as Christians, we think that there's just one route that God is going to guide us down. You see, when it comes to guidance, if it's a choice between a bad decision and a good decision, hopefully we'll always take the good decision, won't we? We won't follow the bad path. The difficulty is when we've got two good dilemmas. Which way do I go? This way, which is good. That way. Should I go to this university or that university? Should I make this career decision or this career decision? Well, actually, they're both good. And in the end, I don't think it matters too much which way we go. As long as our desire is to honour him and to bring glory to his name, God will honour us if we go down that path. God will honour us if we go down that path. The thing is that we want to honour him and we're in relationship with him. God promises guidance to his people. But what we need to understand is that some things in life don't require guidance at all. They require obedience. Let me give you a few. When it comes to becoming a Christian, we don't have to think, I wonder if God wants me to become a Christian. You don't need to seek guidance about that. The Bible says that God commands everybody to repent. And he wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the truth. We don't need to get on our knees to ask guidance about that. We simply need obedience. And then when it comes to being baptized, Christians, do you need to ask for guidance as to whether you should be baptized? No. You just get baptized. Now, there's a rider, perhaps, for those who are under 18, those who are still under the responsibility of their parents. And then, of course, another part of God's word comes in there, where we should honour our father and our mother. And if there are some young people who live in homes where there isn't any sympathy to Christian things, then God honours the decision not to be baptised because their parents don't want them to be baptised. But generally, for adults, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do you need to ask for guidance as to be baptised? No. You get baptised. When it comes to breaking bread, drinking wine. If it's, now should I stay in tonight and watch telly? Or should I go to communion? You go to communion. You don't need to seek guidance about that. You simply do it. When it comes generally to meeting with God's people. Should I do this? Or should I meet with God's people? No, the word of God says, meet with God's people. You don't need guidance about that. When it comes generally to relationships between God's people, loving one another, forgiving one another, as the Bible says, preferring one another. That's a hard one. Do we seek guidance in those areas? No, the Bible says, you love one another. You forgive one another. You prefer one another. Our next door neighbour, just over a year ago, had a new drive put down. And I hope this doesn't get back to them, but I think they know. It was done by a bunch of cowboys. And in the past year, when the rains come, the sand is starting to wash out underneath, and it's starting to droop on one side. Because these cowboys, on the top it looks good, but they didn't put the right depth of foundation in. And so it's beginning to go all wrong. And if we want to seek God's will in other areas of our lives, when it comes to those choices between two good things, when we're not quite sure of a career decision or in a relationship or whatever it might be, unless we've got these foundations right, we're going to struggle in the other areas. If we are living in disobedience in these sorts of areas in our lives, then you'll struggle in finding God's will for perhaps more important areas of your life. Some things in life don't require guidance. They require obedience. But then further guidance is dependent on our obedience. So how does God guide us? And I don't want this to sound too mechanistic, which it sometimes can. You know, if you do A plus B plus C plus D, E will follow. The Christian life isn't like that. That's why I started off with actually, it really depends on relationship. That's the important thing. But okay, I believe I'm in the right relationship with God. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm walking as close to Him as I'm able at the moment. How does God speak to me? And how does God reveal His way and His will for my life? Well, there's four key areas. God has placed in each of His children His Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons why God has placed His Holy Spirit in us is to guide us. Is to guide us. When the disciples were meeting with Jesus just before His arrest and He had told them that He was going away, He said, but don't worry, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send another comforter to you who will guide you. Guide you into all truth. And I find, for me, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it goes back to relationship, is something that you grow into. It isn't necessarily there right at the very beginning. But it's something, it's an intuition that you get as you grow as a Christian. And for me, it happens very much when I'm praying. Perhaps when I'm praying with a group of God's people, or very often on my own, I get this inner compulsion that this is the way I should go. Or perhaps I'm praying about something else, and then suddenly God pops something into my mind that wasn't on my radar. And I think, where did that come from? But it's a very clear revelation. Do this about this situation. And you get an inner sense of peace that, yeah, that wasn't my thinking. God, you put that in there because I was in your presence. And I found out just a few years ago, there was that real sense of God dropped something in my mind about a situation. And I thought, well, where did that come from? But I believe it's right. And I went and saw the person and spoke to them, and they said, yes, that's exactly what God's been saying to us, and you are confirming it. God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. See, there are times when some of the other things I'm going to share with you in a few moments aren't available, aren't around. But God has placed his Holy Spirit in us to guide us into all truth. And when we walk in the right relationship with the keeper of the sheep, the shepherd, well, then we can be sensitive to the way that he's guiding. And then, of course, he guides us through his word, through the Bible. Now, any way that God guides us will never contradict his word. So just as a rider to what I was saying about God guiding through his Holy Spirit, I know that my mind is sometimes very wild and all sorts of ideas can drop into my mind. How do I check whether they're true? Well, I see, is it contradicting God's word? If into my mind an idea comes, go and thump Ron Storr on the nose. No. I shouldn't. I should go and give him a hug instead. All right? Because that goes against God's word. We shouldn't do that sort of thing. So God guides through his word, and it never contradicts itself. All the other ways that we're going to see that God guides us, it's really God's word that we can measure it against. That means that we must be regularly reading God's word. We must meditate on God's word. Let it really become part of our very being. God can't draw out what we haven't put in. That means that when we come to God's word at formal times like this, but in our own devotions as well, we say, Lord, guide me through your word. There was a point in the early 80s when Ange and I had left the Christian Training College and we were beginning our Christian work, and I had an invitation to go and work alongside a church on the other side of the country, and I was tending towards that this was the right way to go, but I was very much before the Lord saying, Lord, what should I do in this situation? Should I go or should I stay? And that was a constant prayer for quite a few weeks. And at that time, I was reading through the book of Jeremiah. Not the best book, perhaps, on guidance that you think you'd ever come across. But I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, show me, should I stay or should I go? And then I read in Jeremiah 42 about a situation where the leaders of the nation came to Jeremiah. And in verse 3 it says, the leader said, pray to the Lord your God, and ask him to tell us where we should go and what we should do. And it was almost exactly the words that I've been saying to the Lord. Where should I go? What should I do? And I thought, wow, this is a word for me, out of your word. And I read on, and the word of the Lord came back very clearly to the people. Stay where you are. It went against all natural instincts, actually, in this situation, because everybody else was fleeing the land. But God said, no, you stay where you are. And they said, oh, thank you, we'll go. They disobeyed the word of the Lord and disaster came on them. But to me, it was God speaking through his word very clearly. I hadn't arranged it, because you know, sometimes you can find any proof verse from the Bible if you want. But if it's in your regular reading and you haven't arranged it, God arranges it. And he speaks to you through his word. So he speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his world. Circumstances. There's that great old hymn that's got a line in it. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. Do you believe that? If you are in relationship with him, then things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. It's what some people say, and I sometimes find this a little trite, but it is true. They're not just coincidences, they're God instances. Just about a year ago, perhaps about 6 months ago, I was in a situation and wondering if it was the right place to be. And there was an event that I was part of, and I was there and thinking, oh, I'm not sure if this is really me, if I should be there. And at the end, a guy came up to me. He was in a wheelchair, And I didn't recognize him. He said, "Hello, Ivor, nice to see you again." And I thought, oh dear, here we are, Teflon mind, nothing sticks, what's his name? And he said, "I became a Christian at a camp that you led years ago. I'd just like to say that what you did in that camp has really changed my life and helped me." I thought, "Wow, that's great. And what you're doing here is just right." And it was just the right man in the right situation at the right time to confirm the rightness of the decision that I was thinking about. God brought around the circumstances to speak to me in that situation. And of course, very close to that is that God not only speaks through his world, but he speaks through his people as well. If you want to turn to the book of Proverbs, which sometimes isn't a good book to go to when it comes for guidance, because it's a bit of an unusual one. But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, I think, has a lot of wisdom. And it is really a book of wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse 22 says this: "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed." If you've got one of these dilemmas where you're thinking, should we go this way, should we go this way, or perhaps it's more than two, this way, or this way, run that dilemma past some trusted friends. Perhaps not the whole church, but one or two people that you know, you value their spirituality and their wisdom. And you say, "Look, I've got this decision. What should I do? This way, or this way?" And listen to what they say. Again, about a year ago, I had a choice of two good things. And I knew I couldn't do them both. Should it be this? Should it be that? And there's a guy that I'm linked with through my work with the counties organization, who I meet about every 6 months, just generally to get encouragement and to share things with. And I rang him. I said, "Look, I know it's not our six-monthly appointment, but I've got a dilemma, and I don't know which way to go, and I'd value your opinion." He said, "Right, I'm coming up into your area. Let's meet together for a coffee." And we met together, and I explained, "Look, there's this great thing that I could possibly do, and this is other great thing I should do. Which one should I do?" And he said, "Well, it's obvious to me." He said, "This one suits you to a T. That's what you should do. Don't think about that one. Do this one. But I'm not telling you what to do." But to him, it was as clear as the nose on his face. It wasn't to me, but it was to him. And just sharing with him, praying with him, and talking it over, he brought that clarity to that decision. And God spoke through him to give guidance to me. So God speaks to us through his Spirit, through his Word, through his world, and through his people. But finally, bear this in mind, that just because God is guiding us in a certain way doesn't mean the path will be easy. Turn back to Psalm 23. And let me do something with verses 3 and 4, which I hope you don't think is misusing God's word, because I want to miss something out. But I think you'll see the truth of what I'm saying. Psalm 23, last part of verse 3, which is our foundational verse: "He guides me in paths of righteousness," verse 4, "through the valley of the shadow of death." You see that? "He guides me in paths of righteousness through the valley of the shadow of death." When Angela and I took that decision to leave secular employment, put the house on rent, we suddenly faced a whole host of problems. The building society came back and didn't like what we were doing, renting our house out. We were basically naive. We didn't realize the proper way we should have done it. So there were fairly major financial problems like that, right through to a couple of cats that we had at that time that we couldn't find a home for, and everything in between. And I remember ringing up the principal of the college that we were going to and saying, "Look, I think I've taken completely the wrong decision here, because there are so many problems that we're facing." It seemed clear at the time, but now the road is very bumpy indeed. And he told me to turn up in Matthew and to read the incident where Jesus walked on the water. He said, don't just read that bit, but read the first bit. And if you read it, it says that Jesus commanded his disciples to go out in the boat and he stayed behind. So they were evidently doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, to go across the lake. And they came across such a storm that made those seasoned fishermen scared. And I bet they were thinking, why on earth are we doing this? Jesus told us to do this, but the problems that we are facing, they are enormous. Well, it was into that situation that Jesus came as he walked on the water. You see, paths of righteousness, following God's way, seeking his guidance for our lives, doesn't mean it will be an easy life. There will be the valley of the shadow of death. But that's why he says, that's why David says, but you are with me. Even in those situations, you are with me. And just in case you sometimes think, well, if I take the wrong decision, if I don't follow God's will, that's the end of it. Take the story of Jonah to heart. You know, God told Jonah to go in one direction, and Jonah said, well, I'm going this way. And he completely disobeyed God. And yet, God restored him and turned him round. Sometimes we think that taking the wrong decision means that God wipes his hands of us, that it's disaster. No, it is not. Even when we take the wrong road, God will restore us. And he promises to be with us. May God help us and teach us and encourage us in our walk with him. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together before I hand back to John for our final song. And before I pray, if there are those here this morning who really have got some of those dilemmas, not between good and bad, you don't need guidance there, you just need obedience. But if you're not sure which way to go and you want someone to talk to, well, you can talk to me. I don't mind that at all. But it might help you to talk to somebody in the church here who you trust, who will listen and bring some wisdom into that situation. Well, why not use the opportunity this morning or arrange to meet with them at some time so you can talk through those dilemmas. Thank you, Father, that you have promised to guide us. Thank you that it's only reasonable that the shepherd should guide his sheep and take them into good pasture. Help us to realize that and to understand that you truly are a good God. And thank you for the good things that you have led us to, the good people that you have put us in touch with in the past. Help us to trust you for new and uncertain futures. So, Lord, we bring ourselves, we bring these things to you. In Christ's name, amen.